Well, last week, the data releases out of the US are starting to show in the lead indicators just some downward pressure in economic activity. And this will all play into something that's going to happen this week, which is obviously the Jackson Hole Symposium. That's when the central bankers all get together for their big conference. And the biggest topic this year, of course, is, you know, what do we do about inflation? How much more of it is there still in the system? You know, what do we have to do with policy? And the quirky reaction of financial markets, which for a period were trying to second guess and saying, look, you've got this thing conquered, it's all over and done with. That may be just about to start to change. But taking a look at the data releases out of the US last week, a lot of leading indicators there which are suggesting that, you know, we're just starting to see some pressure downwards. So, for example, we had the Empire State Survey for August, some manufacturing purchasing manager report out of New York State, and that was way weaker than expected. It went from plus 11.1 going back to the month of July to minus 31.3, way, way below market expectations. So that suggests that there's a fair bit of pessimism in New York State. It wasn't quite the same, though, down the coast. And this sometimes happens. You tend to get a lot of volatility in these numbers around turning points. We had the Philadelphia Fed survey, which is looking, again, at the region in Philadelphia. And there it went the other way. It went from being very pessimistic last month at minus 12.3. It was expected to stay pessimistic with a minus sign on the front. It didn't. It bounced to plus 6.2. So a little bit erratic in terms of those purchasing managers' indices in regional areas, but more generally, in a lead indicator like housing, we're definitely starting to see some softening away in the housing indicators. And last week, we had quite a few of them. We had the National Association of Home Builders Index for the month of August. This has gone below 50, and that suggests that it's starting to get into quite weak territory. It was at 55 the month before. It was expected to stay at 55. It came down to 49. And it was a similar story for home building permits, housing starts, and existing home sales. In the case of home building permits, they fell by 1.3% month of July. Housing starts were down a whopping 9.6%. And July existing home sales were down again quite heftily. They were down 5.4% going back to June. They fell another 5.9% on top of that. So the most interest rate sensitive part of the US economy definitely starting to show some signs of softening away. But having said that, you know, coincident indicators, things like retail sales, are sort of holding up. You know, July retail sales, whilst they were flat month on month, that came after a 0.8% increase the month before and a good increase the month before that. So they basically consolidated quite strongly. And core retail sales actually rose. They rose by 0.4% after being up by 0.9% the month before. So still this rather mixed data, and that's what's going to be facing the Fed. And you could see in the Fed minutes that came out last week of their last meeting, they are becoming watching the data as it comes through, which obviously gave that bit of a hint to the market that maybe, you know, they might not go aggressively at 75 basis points. They're starting to trim that back. But they're probably nowhere near yet the peak of what they need to do in terms of setting interest rates. And that is going to be the focus this week. Jackson Hole comes up later in the week, and particularly the speech that will be given by Jerome Powell. They will be watched very, very closely, so you'd expect the markets are going to be a little bit more cautious and nervous than they've been over the last few weeks running up towards that event. We also get a bit more data ahead of that in the US. We'll get the old-style August manufacturing PMIs and services sector PMIs for the entire country, and they are expected to pull back a bit. The manufacturing PMI, that comes out on Tuesday night, is expected to come back to 51.9 from 52.2. If it gets near 50, you know, that's obviously the expansion contraction marker, so you know, that would be quite soft. The services sector PMI actually dipped to 47.3 going back to July. It may be a little bit better than that, 49.1, but that's starting to show some signs of weakness. We've got more housing data with new home sales coming out for the month of July. They were very, very weak going back to the month of June, down 8.1%. They're expected to fall a further 2.5%. Pending home sales, which looks at what's in the pipeline, they were down 8.6% going back to June. They're expected to fall another 3.8%. But having said that, we'll also get personal income, personal spending data, which are expected to hold up. They're coming out on Friday. So July personal income expected to rise another 0.6% after being up 0.6 the month before. Personal spending data expected to rise about 0.4% after being up 1.1%. And we get a final reading of consumer sentiment coming out later in the week too. And it was interesting that for the most recent month, that actually jumped from low 50s to 55.1. And with the late responses, about a third of the responses coming into the final, as opposed to two-thirds that go into the preliminary report, is expected to lift a little bit further to 55.2. So it's, as I say, mixed bag for the US. That makes it peculiarly difficult for whatever messages the central bank wants to give. China last week, no two ways about it. China's struggling. We had July house prices came out. They've gone further into negative territory, minus 0.9% year on year. That's an annual rate from minus 0.5% the month before. The problems in the residential market in China, if anything, are becoming worse. We also had the regular run of monthly data, July fixed investment spending, industrial production, retail sales, and all of them on the softer side of expectations, and in many cases actually slipping a bit from the month before, which wasn't particularly strong. So we had fixed investment spending, which should be the strongest of these, because this is where the government is trying to focus attention, assisting local authorities to develop various projects to try and get a little bit of lift running through these numbers. That came back to 5.7% year on year from 6.1% the month before. The market was hoping to see that above 6 at 6.3%, so a bit of a slip on that one. Industrial production, same story, down to 3.8% from 3.9% the month before. The market was hoping to see 4.6, so quite a big undershoot on that one. And the one where the biggest undershoot is, and the one which is almost like a public opinion poll on what they think about their government, retail sales. Retail sales, which were up only 3.1% year-on-year going back to June. They were expected to lift a bit to 5%. They didn't. They've slid to 2.7%. So these are fairly weak economic numbers. There was a response from the People's Bank of China during the week. They dropped their prime loan interest rate, and it was a pretty hefty fall too, from 3.7% to 2.75%. So that's a 95 basis point cut in their official interest rate. This is obviously very different from what's happening in central banks elsewhere, but this struggle in China to rekindle growth after they've hit their property sector very, very hard, and after their quirky response to getting on top of Omicron too with shutdowns, is still causing a lot of difficulty there. It'll be a quiet week in China this week, so we haven't got much data coming out this week. Moving to Australia, and we had the RBA minutes, which suggests that they're watching the data as it comes through to see what they need to do next with monetary policy. And the data we got, we had Q2 wage price index data came out, and it just cut in underneath market expectations at 0.7% quarter on quarter. That lifted the annual rate of wage growth to 2.6 from 2.4. That's still not unduly alarming, but remembering that this number was taken before many of the more recent big increases that have come through for wages. So amongst those are, of course, the minimum wage determination, plus the determination for awards linked to the minimum wage, and of course they were 5.2% and 4.6% respectively. They don't take effect until periods between the 1st of July and the 1st of September. So it's the next one or two which will probably show a bit of a lift. But nevertheless, past wage growth is still pretty modest in Australia relative to overseas. We also had the labour force data came out last week, and for the first time we had a fall. It was a fall for a number of reasons. You know, this was July, so there were a number of shutdowns related to health. We had school holidays, and some of that may account for why employment actually fell back by 40,900. Admittedly, that was after an 88,400 increase the month before. And where you see some of these special factors working through, there was quite a sharp fall in the participation rate last month too, to 66.4% from 66.8%. So one of the quirks in this is that although you had a fall in employment, you also had a fall in the number of people unemployed. And the unemployment rate came down to 3.4%. That's the new low since August of 1974, from 3.5% the month before. And the number of unemployed has now cut underneath the number of job vacancies. So it's still a marker of a pretty tight labour market. And to the extent that the RBA draws any comfort from this at all, maybe what it means is that rather than doing 50 basis points at the next policy meeting, they may do 25. It's but we'll wait and see what happens there, because one of the problems facing the Reserve Bank is that much of what it's doing is based on its forecasts of where it thinks things are going. And it's been so blindsided on its forecasts over the course for inflation and growth over the course of all of this year. So there's still a fair bit of a pressure for it to try and get up to what it considers to be a neutral interest rate as quickly as it can. This week in Australia, we don't have much in the way of economic data, although, of course, we'll have the RBA representatives at Jackson Hole. We'll hear from those later in the week. We've got the head of financial markets from the RBA giving a speech during the course of the week. And we've got a lot of companies reporting profits, including some which are big on the retail side, the likes of Woolworths and Ampol, for example, coming through with their reports this week. And they're probably likely to be pretty strong reports, although there'll be some cautions about things going forward. So just watching that those indications as they come through. And in the case of Europe last week, we had, I suppose the focal point was largely inflation rates again. We had the final CPI reading. It hadn't altered much from the CPI that we saw preliminary read, so it's still at 8.9% year on year. Also in the UK, the first of the major economies really to have a CPI now above 10% year on year, went up to 10.1% year on year. And this is going to be increasingly an issue around the world, is that we think we're getting to some sort of peak in inflation rates. It's probably more certain in the US than other places. But these peaks could still surprise on the upside over the course of the next few months. And then that gives you a feedback loop to what central banks may need to do about that. So just watching these sorts of indications as we go through. Europe this week, we'll get some purchasing managers indices coming out for both the manufacturing sector and the services sector for August. They are hovering around the 50 mark, 49.8 for the manufacturing PMI, 51.2 for services. Be interesting to see where they slip a bit further into softer territory. And August consumer confidence, which is absolutely shot in Europe, it's minus 27.0 going back to the month of July. This is a story almost everywhere that the lead indicators are definitely starting to show signs of weaker growth. But the current data and the past data is still holding up to some degree. And there's a longer split between the coincident indicators starting to show some signs of coming back relative to what these lead indicators are showing. And so that does make life peculiarly difficult for the likes of the central banks. You know, is there still a fair bit of residual built-up demand still running through these economies, which will keep inflation higher for longer? And do they have to respond to that? At the moment, over the last few weeks, financial markets have taken a view that, oh, it's all done and dusted. You know, they've done enough. You're going to start to see, look at the leading indicators, you're going to see things pulling back. That's not necessarily the way that things may go. So, I think, you know, we're setting ourselves up for quite a deal of volatility now rather than financial markets melting up the way that they've been doing over the course of the last few weeks. And Jackson Hole and some of these other events may be important. I should have given a mention to the RBNZ too last week, who are not blinking. You know, they lifted their cash rate another 50 basis points to 3.00%. So, they're often a pretty good lead for the way in which other central banks may be thinking over time. Just watching that one, you know, gives some reason to be still pretty cautious, and we should expect some of this upward movement in interest rates again rather than the rallies that we've had looking out over the course of the past month or so.